I preach this morning in the name of God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so today we continue with our sermon series for this summer, which is drawn from the Gospel of Luke. And we are following Jesus as he walks down the road to Jerusalem and the death on the cross that Jesus knows awaits him there. Now, as Jesus is walking down the road, along the way, Jesus interacts with various groups of people, and Jesus teaches them various things. Last week, Jesus was a guest at the house of Mary and Martha, and though Martha did what was expected of her, making a nice home-cooked meal for Jesus and the apostles, yet it's Mary who chose to do the one thing needful when she chose to sit at Jesus' feet, listening to Jesus' words and learning from him. And last week, I challenged you to choose that one thing for yourself, to choose to spend time with Jesus Christ every way as part of your daily walk with him. And today I want to teach you how to do that. Our lesson today picks up right where our lesson from last week left off. So Jesus and the apostles leave the home of Mary and Martha. They continue down the road to Jerusalem. Somewhere along the way, at a certain place, Jesus stopped to pray. Perhaps remembering what Jesus had just taught them in the home of Mary and Martha, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray," which is what we, his disciples, want to know too. Because just like them, just like Jesus' own disciples back in Jesus' day, we know that we should pray persistently, like that friend at midnight who keeps on knocking until the door is opened to him, faithfully and confidently, asking, seeking, and knocking, trusting that everyone who asks will receive, to everyone who knocks the door will be opened, and everyone who seeks will find. We know that we should pray. We just don't know how to do it. And so, like the apostles, we too ask, "Lord, teach us. Teach us how to do it. Teach us to pray," which Jesus does, giving them and us the Lord's Prayer. Now, this is the most famous Christian prayer used in all the churches of Christian churches around the world. Many churches like ours pray this prayer word by word each and every week. Many other churches, especially in the more non-denominational world, will use this prayer as a pattern to follow. Today, I want to teach you how to do it both. How to not only pray the Lord's Prayer word for word, but how to also use it as a pattern to follow for your own prayers. And what I'm about to teach you today is based on Martin Luther's Small Catechism, which is a handbook of faith that Martin Luther wrote back in the year 1529, and this has been the touchstone of Lutheran education even to this day. So what I'm about to teach you today is not anything new. You've heard this before. Maybe it's been a while. Maybe you've never heard it presented in quite this same way, and so I have made this for you. If you want to take a look in your bulletin insert there, I've made this for you, and this is a summary and a highlight of everything that I'm just about to teach you. And what I'm asking you is to take this home, stick it in your Bible at home, so that when it comes time for your first 15 with the Lord, for your daily time with the Lord, for your daily walk with the Lord, for the time when you, like Mary, sit at Jesus' feet listening to Jesus' word and learning from him, you've got this nearby and ready. This is a wonderful tool to equip you how to pray. How to pray. You see, the Lord's Prayer is very familiar to us. We all know it by heart. What I want to do is teach you how to pray it from the heart, slowing down to pray each part of it as a separate prayer to the Lord. Now, the Lord's Prayer is structured very, very simply. There is an opening address, "Our Father who art in heaven," a closing doxology, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever," and in between are six requests, or as we call them, six petitions, which I've listed for you here. There are the three thy petitions: "Hallowed be thy name," "Thy kingdom come," "Thy will be done," and the three us petitions: "Give us this day our daily bread," "Forgive us our trespasses," and "Lead us not into temptation." The three thy petitions, the three us petitions, and I want to teach you how to use each one of them as a separate prayer for the Lord. So let's get into it, and we'll start with the first of the thy petitions first, the first of the thy petitions, which is "Hallowed be thy name." Now, to be sure, to hallow means to make holy. And to be sure, God's name is already holy. Right? In and of itself, with or without us, no matter what we do, God's name already is holy. But here in this petition, we pray that God's name would be holy to us, God's name would be holy for us, as we give God thanks and praise and glory for who he is and what he has done. And here is a great part in your prayer as you begin your prayer time, to pray out loud those words that you already know from the liturgy. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. To hallow God's name, to make it holy, means to give God thanks and praise and glory for who he is and for what he has done. And that's how we begin our prayer, because it puts us in the right frame of mind. You see, the God we are praying to is our Father in heaven, but he's not our buddy. He's not our buddy. He is the Lord. He is the Almighty One. He is the Holy One. And we begin by giving thanks and praise and glory to him. Hallowed be thy name. It's the first of the petitions. It's followed by the second of the thy petitions, which is thy kingdom come. And again, God's kingdom will come, with or without us. Ready or not, God's kingdom will come. But here in this petition, we pray that God's kingdom will come to us, and God's kingdom will come for us. When Jesus walked the earth, when Jesus was walking down that road to Jerusalem, the kingdom of God was at hand wherever Jesus Christ was. And wherever Jesus Christ was, the kingdom of God would break out as people were healed, as people were touched, as people were restored, as people were redeemed, as people were set free. Where do you need God's kingdom to come into your life? Where do you need God's kingdom to work in you? Name that place in this point of the prayer. Is it your health? Is it your finances? Is it your marriage? Is it your family? Is it your relationships? Is it your workplace? Where do you need Jesus Christ to touch you and move and work in your life? Name that place right there and pray, Lord, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come to my marriage. Thy kingdom come to my health. Thy kingdom come to my family. Thy kingdom come to my workplace. Thy kingdom come, Lord, and help me move, set me free, restore me, work in my life right here in this place that I name to you today. Lord, thy kingdom come here. Where in your life do you need God's kingdom to come to you? And who in your life needs God's kingdom to come to them? Who is outside the kingdom of God right now? Who is lost? Who's your one? That one person that we pray for each and every single Sunday, that one person in your life, that one person you love who doesn't know Jesus, that one person who perhaps did know Jesus and walked away, who is that person for you? This is the place where you pray for that person by name and bring that person to the Lord. And you pray, Lord, thy kingdom come. To this person I love, to this person I have grown up with, to this person that I pray for each and every Lord day, God, thy kingdom come to redeem her, to restore her, to set her free, to save her, to give her eternal life in your name, Jesus Christ. Thy kingdom come to her. Who is that person for you? Who in your life is outside of the kingdom? Where in your life do you need God's kingdom to come to you? Pray for those things here in the second petition, thy kingdom come. And the third is thy will be done. Thy will be done. And once again, God's will be done, right? With or without us, whether we want it to be or not, God's will be done. But once again, here we pray that God's will be done by us, and God's will be done for us. First, that God's will be done by us as we obey his commandments, walk in his way, and follow his will. Are you living your life the way God wants you to? Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is our God. Jesus is our guide. He follows and we lead. If you're not walking where he is walking, it's time to repent, to get back on the path and start following him again. And that's where you pray for this in your life right here. You say, Lord, bend my will to yours in this area of my life. In this area where I know I've gotten off the path, in this area where I know I've gone astray, Lord, bend my will to yours that I might follow you and walk with you in this area of my life and name it before the Lord. Thy will be done by us as we obey his commandments, and thy will be done for us as we accept his will for our life. You see, there are times and seasons in your life when God, when what God gives you, when what God allows for you, is not at all what you want for yourself. Times of pain and of loss, times of sickness and of sadness, times of grief and of sorrow, times of anger and frustration, times when what God gives to you, when what God allows to happen to you are not at all what you want for yourself. And in those times, it is perfectly appropriate to pray like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane and say, Lord, if you are willing, let this cup pass from me. This grief, this pain, this hurt, this loss, this anger, this frustration, Lord, I don't want it in my life. Lord, if you are willing, let this cup pass from me and take it away. But there also comes a time when, like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, you have to say, and yet, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. I do not like it. I do not understand it. I do not want it. But I trust you, Jesus, even when it hurts. Thy will be done. There are those times in your life, and God grant they might only be a handful for you, but when they come, and they will, you have to know how to pray. And so Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer, Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And only after first praying about God, then does Jesus teach us to pray for ourselves with the three us petitions which follow, the first of which is, give us this day our daily bread. And notice how very emphatic that is. Huh? It's not give us this day bread or give us daily bread, but it's give us this day our daily bread. It's very, very emphatic. You see, if the previous one, thy will be done, was about those rare times and seasons of hardship in our lives, this one, daily bread, is about the everyday part of our lives, the everyday details of our lives, day in and day out, day after day, every day. Give us this day our daily bread, Jesus teaches us to pray. God invites us to ask him to give us what we need for that day, day after day. And this is the part of my prayer when I bring my to-do list to the Lord, when I bring my calendar to the Lord, and I ask God to come and be a part of what I have to do that day. And so I'll open up my calendar and I'll say, oh, Lord, I've got this meeting. Give me the time to prepare for this meeting, or give me the patience to endure this meeting sometimes, right? And I say, Lord, here's all the to-do lists I've got to do. Here's all the tasks I've got to do. God, give me the time and the energy to get it done. Lord, here's this report I have to write. Here's this sermon I have to write. Here's this Bible study I have to write. Here's this newsletter article I have to write. Father, give me the time, the energy, the focus, the clarity to write it. Lord, here's this person I have to meet with. God, give me the words to say to them. Lord, here's all the things I've got going on this day. Come, Lord Jesus, and be a part of my day. Jesus, give me what I need to do my work this day. Give me this day my daily bread. Your Father in heaven loves you, and he invites you to bring even the mundane details of your life to him every single day. You know what? Take him up on it. Take him up on that invitation. Bring him your day every day this week and see, just see what the Lord will do in your life as you bring yourself to him every single day. Give us this day our daily bread, the first of the us petitions, which is about what we need to do. And the second of the us petitions is about what we have already done. Forgive us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And here is the point in our prayer when we confess the wrong that we have done and bring it before the Lord. When we confess the sins that we have sinned and bring them to the Lord and ask Him to forgive them of us and to take them away. And He will. Those things that trouble you, those things that burden you, those things of which you are ashamed, get them off of your chest, off of your conscience, off of your shoulder. Put them into the hands of the Lord, and He will take them away so that you don't have to carry them anymore. And the great blessing of doing this every single day is that by doing it every single day, you keep a short account. You don't let the sins pile up so that they don't have time to put down roots and bear fruit. They don't have the time to fester and spread, but you deal with your sins every single day. And you say, Lord, I can't believe it, but I did this, and I am sorry, I am embarrassed, I am ashamed, I am angry and frustrated with myself. Lord, please forgive me that I did this thing wrong, and He will. He will take it off your chest, off your heart, off your shoulders, and take it away so that you don't have to carry it around anymore. But here's the thing. God expects you to do for others what He has done for you. And so He teaches us to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And who are those people for you? Who are the people who have sinned against you, the people who have angered you, the people who have wronged you, the people who have hurt you? Here is the place in the prayer where you name that person and what that person has done, and you bring it to the Lord, and you say, Lord, I can't believe what he did to me. Father, I can't believe what she said to me, how it angers me, how it hurts me, how offended I am. And yet, Lord, I forgive that person. I forgive what they have done, and I give it to you to take away. And he will, so that you don't have to carry that burden with you anymore. Whenever two people get together, something inevitably will go wrong. That's just the way of life in this sinful and fallen world. But when things go wrong in a relationship, somebody has to be the adult in the room. And as a child of God, that somebody is you. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The second of the us petitions, and the third and final one, is lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And now this is slightly a misleading translation, because of course God leads no one into temptation. That's the devil's job. The devil is the one who leads people in temptation. The devil is the one who tempts people to sin. And in this prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray against him. Jesus teaches us to pray for protection from him. Jesus teaches us to pray, deliver us from evil, deliver us from the evil one, deliver us from the devil. So though it is the devil's job to lead us into temptation, unfortunately, all too often, the devil doesn't have an awful lot of work to do. Because all too often, we are all too eager to lead ourselves right up into it. And you know what this is for you, right? I mean, you know what your temptations are. You know what your weaknesses are. You know those sins that trip you up time and time again, that sins that you fall into day after day. God knows them too. And not only does God know them, but God asks you to bring them to him so that he can help you turn away. And so in this case, maybe this little girl might want to say, Lord, you know how tempted I am to eat that cupcake. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, so that I don't do what I know I'm not supposed to do and get angry with mom again, right? Or maybe for you, it might be, Lord, you know how this person really gets all over my last nerves. And then I got to spend hours with this person today. Help me, Lord. Give me the strength. Give me the patience. Give me the maturity to not do or say something that I will later regret. Or maybe for you it's, Lord, you know how easy it is for me to overeat or to overdrink at the end of a long, hard day. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, so that I don't do something that will cause me bodily harm. Lord, you know how easy it is. If left to myself, I will lead myself into temptation once again. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, and turn me away. Lord, teach us to pray, the disciples asked him, and he did, giving them the Lord's Prayer. It is a simple prayer. It is a familiar prayer, one that we all know word for word, one that we all know by heart. And today I've taught you how to preach it from the heart so that you can pause and make each one of these petitions a prayer to the Lord. Do that this week and you will be amazed how this simple prayer can open up your life and relationship with the Lord and how the Lord will work in your life. Amen.